This episode was the hardest one I've ever had to write. I thought the Mary Costin part in the final episode of season one had done me in, but this one brought out the feels on a whole new level. I'm Corey Constable, and this is Omitted. There's no memorial on the corner of Ilohena and Judd Street in Honolulu. There is no plaque, not even a brick in the sidewalk. So I'd wager to guess that most of the residents who drive up and down that street every single day have no clue what happened there in 1941, have no idea of the scope of loss that was felt in the doorway of that gray house on the hill. Joseph Kanehoa Adams, John Kalawai Adams, Joseph McCabe Sr., and David Kahoʻokele all worked as riggers in Shop 72 at Pearl Harbor Shipyard. They had all performed their duty as devout Catholics and attended early morning mass on December 7th at St. Anne Church in Kaneohe, as they would on any given Sunday. After church services ended, as they climbed into their dark green 1937 Packard sedan, they could hear the explosions coming from Kaneohe Naval Air Station, less than 5 miles across the bay from where they stood. Military drills were common, sure, but this early in the morning? And on a Sunday? It all seemed strange, so they turned on their radio. The explosions they heard and the smoke that they saw were not a drill, they found, and the windward side of Oahu wasn't the only area being targeted. All naval personnel, firemen, doctors, nurses, and shipyard workers were to report immediately to Pearl Harbor. So the men dropped off their wives and headed for Honolulu. They watched as the planes flew by overhead, heard the bombs exploding off in the distance, and as they navigated the winding Pali Highway that connects Kaneohe to the big city, their first glimpse of Pearl Harbor came into view. The sky was black with smoke and filled with tiny airplanes zipping back and forth, dropping low and dumping their payload, leaving massive fireballs and even more smoke in their wake. As they approached the city, the men found that they would have to take side streets. There was a cloud of smoke up ahead, and traffic was at a standstill. They were forced off of the Pali Highway and onto Nuuanu Avenue, and from there onto Judd Street, where they turned Eva and made their way toward Pearl Harbor. Meanwhile, in the midst of the action, the sailors were finally beginning to mobilize. They'd finally put themselves into a position to fight back. As they fired their machine guns into the sky, they brought down enemy planes that came screaming down into the ships, into the water, igniting the oil that leaked from the battleships and setting the harbor ablaze. It was chaos. It was pure, unadulterated confusion, but they fought back. They loaded anti-aircraft shells into the guns of their ships, set their targets as best they could, and fired at will. But hitting a moving target isn't easy in the best of conditions, and it's made more difficult when you're being overrun, when the targets are just too numerous, when they're moving too quickly, too closely, and you're afraid for your life. So those anti-aircraft shells didn't always hit their target. Sometimes they missed. Sometimes they barreled through the sky past the plane they'd been destined for and continued inland, unable to be stopped, and they landed wherever their trajectory would take them. Back at the corner of Ilohena and Judd Street, 12-year-old Matilda Kaliko Falfada stood in the doorway of her family home. They had lived here for only a month, and this was the most exciting thing they'd seen here so far. She and her siblings watched with glee as the Japanese dive bombers flew low above their house, observing what they were convinced was the most spectacular military drill they had ever witnessed. Her father Levi turned on his radio and heard the same message that the McCabe and Adam families had heard, that all Pearl Harbor shipyard workers were to report to work immediately, so he hurried to dress himself. He was a pipe fitter at Pearl Harbor's Shop 52 and he would have to report for duty. Matilda watched from her lanai while her older brother Levi Jr. stood transfixed in their yard. A dark green car, a 1937 Packard sedan, came around the curve on Judd Street and passed by Ilohena Avenue as they watched. Mary Frances Fluboki, a neighbor from just down the street, heard the car speeding up the hill as she and her family cowered on the floor of their home, but its sound was soon drowned out by something much, much louder. Matilda's sister Elsie also heard it. The terrible, deafening, whirring sound, like metal scraping metal, she said, that accompanies an anti-aircraft shell. The shell came barreling through the sky from Pearl Harbor, a full 10 miles away, missing its mark and heading straight into residential Honolulu. It crashed into the street with a deafening blast, whipping the car around in the opposite direction and throwing it diagonally across the avenue. Levi Jr. was knocked off of his feet by the explosion and scrambled to the aid of the men who had been caught up in it. Joseph and John Adams and John McCabe Sr. had been killed instantly. Levi and his cousins dragged David Kahoʻokele out of the smoldering, shrapnel-ridden car and they called for help. They tried their best to stop the bleeding, to comfort the man who now lay dying on Judd Street, but there was nothing they could do. He died before medical help could arrive. As they tended to David, Levi Jr. heard a cry coming from his family home and sprinted up the hill to investigate. The scene that he met there has haunted him for the rest of his life. A piece of shrapnel from the bomb that had killed the McCabe and Adams families had also gone flying onto his family's property, had torn through the air past 2005 Ilohena Avenue and met a target in the doorway of that gray house on the hill. Matilda Calico Falfata, the 12-year-old who loved playing the accordion and performing in dance recitals, who had spent the morning innocently fascinated by the planes and their tactical maneuvers, fell backwards through the doorway of her family home and into her cousin's arms. Her mother cradled her as she used her dying breath to utter one last word. Mama. But there is no memorial at the corner of Ilohena and Judd. No plaque to honor those who were lost there. Nor is there one on the corner of Nuuanu and Kukui Avenue, where an anti-aircraft shell landed on a Japanese restaurant, killing 8-year-old Jackie Hirasaki, 3-year-old Robert Hirasaki, 2-year-old Shirley Hirasaki, their father Jitsuo Hirasaki, and their 14-year-old cousin George Okada. The largest loss of life in a single family on December 7, 1941. An explosion that left a haze of black smoke hovering over Nuuanu Avenue as you looked down upon it from the Pali Highway. An explosion that backed up traffic, forcing drivers to take side streets. Side streets like Ilohena and Judd. Omitted is written and produced by me, Corey Constable. Special thanks to the Delaware County District Library for providing the space and the resources to create this show. Be sure to follow along on Instagram and Twitter, or like us on Facebook. Just search for Omitted Podcast. That's OMITTED Podcast.